Hello, it is Tuesday, August 17th. I am Trent Rinesmith, and this is another edition of the Come On Now MMA podcast. And here is what's on the agenda for today. Kevin Holland signs a new deal with the UFC, even though he's on a two-fight losing skid, and I have a lot of questions about why that deal was struck by his management team. Endeavor has reported that the UFC had its biggest quarter second quarter ever, I think. Hold on. Endeavor reported that the UFC has had its biggest first half in UFC history. And I'm wondering, how did the UFC fighters make out on that deal? Not so good. Luke Rockhold blasts Dana White and the UFC, and I see that there are no lies detected in what Luke Rockhold said. More contract talk when it comes to Kai Kamaka and Justin James, and how the UFC doesn't do favors for the fighters that did favors for it. And the worm has turned on Conor McGregor, the man who used to move the needle and social media on fighter callouts. That man is gone. Will he ever come back? I don't think so, and I'll explain why. And now, on with the show. According to Nolan King at MMA Junkie, Kevin Holland has signed a new multi-fight deal with the UFC, and it's odd that he did so at this point in time because he is on a two-fight losing skid. And this is according to King. His management team at KO Reps, and he fights Carl Daukaus on October 2nd. I reached out to KO Reps to see what the thought process was behind negotiating a deal when their fighter is on a two-fight losing skid. I'm not going to count on hearing back from them. If I was a representative, if I was a fighter, and I was on a two-fight losing skid, the odds of me reaching out to the UFC to sign a new deal are slim to none. The odds of me agreeing with the UFC on a new deal are slim to none. And here's my thinking. Now, this could be wrong, but from looking at the way things have worked out in the UFC and the way UFC does business, I have a feeling that I'm not that wrong, if I'm wrong at all. Normally, you lose three or four in a row. Besides being, if you're not a big name fighter, three or four in a row usually gets you released by the UFC. A UFC contract is not a guaranteed deal. So you come to one or two fights left in your contract. You're on a two-fight losing skid. The UFC comes to you and says, hey, you want to sign a new deal? You know you have pretty much no negotiating power. Perhaps Holland has negotiating power to say, hey, I take short notice fights for you. That's very little negotiating power, and that negotiating power gets negated the minute the UFC says you're right, but you lose short notice fights and you're on a two-fight losing skid. You have no negotiating power in this matter. None. It's all on the UFC side of the table. And that's not ideal, and that's not something your management team should allow to happen. The idea that you sign a new fight deal with the UFC at this point in time on a two-fight losing skid, that doesn't stop you from getting released if you lose one or two more. The UFC contracts are not guaranteed. And so, if you lose three, you might get cut. If you lose four, you might get cut. And what mattered is that if you're on a new deal or not, you're still going to get released. And so, you took, more likely than not, you took lower than you would have took had you been on a winning streak or even won one fight when you negotiated a new deal. So you should roll the dice. Bet on yourself. Bet that you're going to win your next one or two fights, however many are left on your contract. Bet on that. And then you have some negotiating power. Then you can say, hey, I won one or two, and the losing skid I was on, that's gone. Now this is the new Kevin Holland. I'm on a winning streak now. And let's talk new deal. Now you have a little power. Not much power, because you never have much power when it comes to the UFC and negotiating. but you have a little power. To take a deal when you're on a two-fight losing skid is it just seems preposterous to me. I don't understand it. It makes no sense to me. The UFC contracts are not guaranteed. You have no negotiating power, and you're gonna pretty and it seems like you're gonna pretty much accept what's put in front of you, because the UFC can say, well, you're losing. We could just release you. And if you want to be in the UFC, what are you going to do? You can't really call the bluff. I'd be shocked if there was some kind of reasoning behind this that makes sense. But from the outside looking in and looking at how the UFC usually does business, signing when you have no negotiating power, when you're on a two-fight losing skid, seems desperate, and it doesn't really make sense, because all you're going to do is make maybe a little more money, and if you lose one or two more, you're still going to get released. Had you held out, had you bet on yourself, and you're on a winning streak, no matter one fight, two fights, you're still on a winning streak, and you won your last fight. And now you can negotiate from a point of power. And even if you win one fight, you're negotiating from a bigger number. Because if you lose two fights, your base salary is your show, not your win and show. Had you won one fight, your base salary is doubled. And now you can start negotiating from there. You're negotiating from a losing position with no power. It makes zero sense. I was shocked to see this. And it makes, like I said, zero sense. And I'd be surprised if Holland's team got back to me with the logic behind this, because to me, it's illogical. So the UFC, Endeavor released its earnings for the most recent quarter. And here's what we have, the information we have. It was $1.1 billion in revenue for the quarter. The year earnings, the Endeavor upped what their expectations are. Before this release of information, it was $4.8 billion, and now it is $4.85 billion. According to the information, overall revenue for Endeavor increased to $1.1 billion, up from $650 million from the same time last year. And the release, according, I think this was from MMA Fighting, says three sold-out arena record pay-per-view events resulted in the biggest first half in UFC history. And so, I asked the UFC fighters who competed during the pandemic and who are responsible, I would think, for the majority, if not all of these earnings, because Endeavor is kind of in a boat where it can't really present events and there's not a lot of filming going on just because of the pandemic. So the majority of this money is going to have been earned by the UFC and by the majority of that revenue has been earned by the UFC fighters. Had no fights taken place, that revenue is not earned. So who's responsible for that revenue? Not the UFC, the UFC fighters. They generated that revenue by going out and fighting during a pandemic. And what was their reward for that? They didn't get any reward for that. Don't think too hard on that. Zero. Zero was the reward. Pay didn't increase. They didn't get health benefits. They didn't get guaranteed salaries. They didn't get hazard pay. They got nothing. They got their same amount of pay and 70, 71, around 71, I think it is at this point in time. 71 fighters got reportedly, I'm sure the number is higher because we only heard reports when fighters dropped out of fights due to COVID-19. So reportedly 70 plus fighters tested positive for COVID-19, and what did they get for health benefits because of that? Probably nothing, and they lost fights, and they lost income, and they lost whatever money they spent training for those fights. So the UFC fighters generated an enormous amount of revenue for Endeavor and for the UFC, and for the UFC and Endeavor stockholders at this time. Keep that in mind. The money is not... it's going to stockholders now, so the ownership group is even bigger than it was. And they're all going to be ecstatic about that. But the fighters, nothing. They got nothing. And why? because that's the way it is and that's the way it's been. At some point, fighters are going to have to really wake up to what's going on. And you would think that this would have been a clue as to waking up. But they know that if they turn the fight down, there's going to be someone else ready to take that $12,000 or whatever it is to take their place. Because the pay in MMA is so crappy that there's always someone there with their hand out ready to take what's yours. And the answer to this is really to hold out, to unionize, to force the UFC to the table. I don't think it's going to happen. And I don't think it's going to happen simply because there's no one saying, you know what, or not enough fighters saying, you know what, I'm not going to compete during this time. And as long as the UFC can stock a fight card with 10 to 14 fights, it's going to do so. And it's going to make its money from ESPN. So the fighters really need to get smarter about this. But it's hard to do when someone else is always out there ready to cut your throat or a low pay rate for a chance to fight in the UFC. But these numbers are enormous. And the UFC fighters are getting pennies on the dollar. Pennies on the dollar to sacrifice themselves. And they're not even employees. They're independent contractors with no health benefits, no guaranteed salaries, no job security. And the UFC, Endeavor, and the stockholders are profiting off that. I really wish the fighters would wake up to that and band together for the good of everyone on the roster, and force the UFC to the table to at least give them something, whether it be guaranteed salaries, whether it be health benefits, whether it be increased wages, anything. Right now, they're independent contractors. They're more or less gig workers. They're glorified, no better than... It's just a terrible situation, but it's a situation that's not going to change unless it's forced to change. And right now, it doesn't look like anyone's going to force that change. Luke Rockhold unloaded on the UFC, and the former middleweight champion, I can't find any flaws in his logic, because what he says here seems to be 100% on the money. And Luke Rockhold, I've had my differences with what he's said in the past, so don't think I'm some kind of Luke Rockhold stan here or someone who will ride or die with Luke Rockhold, but this is what he had to say. Guys like Francis Ngannou are getting shelved for asking his worth, and they're creating interim titles, which is bullshit. This is from MMA Junkie Radio. I mean, this is the type of shit you have to deal with. I'm not always here for it. I'm not going to be here for it. I'm going to speak my mind exactly how I want to say what I say, what I feel like. Like it or not, F, I'm here. I'm going to respect myself publicly. I'm not going to disrespect myself, which is what a lot of people do, which is what the common narrative with the UFC and what Dana White has created, to shut down fighters and criticize champions. The narrative that they've created is for the fans to want to hate on fighters, and that's just bullshit. You got to go out there, respect yourself, and get paid. This is the effing fight game. We're the fighters, we're the entertainment, and we deserve our worth. And this is exactly what I was saying in the previous section with how much money the UFC fighters have generated for the UFC Endeavor and their stockholders. You know the number. It's right there in the reports. You know, because of the pandemic, you're generating that number as UFC fighters. Get your money. I don't understand the holdup here. And again, Luke Rockhold is correct. Francis Ngannou wanted his worth. He has a manager who is a strong manager who will stand up for him and won't take the line of BS the UFC feeds him. And that's why the UFC and Dana White ran that manager down. And that's why the UFC and Dana White said, you know what? This guy won the title in March, but we're still going to have an interim title fight. And that's also why Amanda Nunes, she won the UFC women's bantamweight title in December 2019. And we're not going to have an interim title there because she is easier to get along with and easier to deal with than Francis Ngannou's management team. This is all fully transparent. If you can't see this, you're not looking or not paying attention. The only reason Ngannou didn't get that fight was because his management didn't want to accept what the UFC was offering. They wanted the John Jones fight. John Jones wanted more money. And now you have two guys who want more money, money they deserve. And the UFC is saying, you know what? We can get these other two guys cheaper and won't have to worry about that. And according to Ciryl Gane, he got paid, I think, $350. And he said, and I don't know how he got the number for Derek Lewis. Lewis probably got $700, I think it was. And if you think Jones and Ngannou were going to accept 10 times that, you're wrong. And so they got a bottom basement price for a title fight, and they walked away laughing all the way to the bank. And who lost? The UFC fighters lost, but the UFC viewers also lost, because everybody wanted to see Ngannou and Jones, but we didn't get it because the money wasn't right for the UFC. Luke Rockhold is correct here. The UFC is going to throw the fighters under the bus as long as they ask for their money. It happened to Ngannou. It happened to Jones. It's going to happen to Sean O'Malley. It's a guarantee. The only fighter that's ever gotten away with it is Conor McGregor. And the UFC, I think UFC regrets that. But that one's out of the barn already. And so we'll see what happens. But listen to Luke Rockhold here. The UFC, the narrative is you're an ingrate if you want your money, and the UFC is just going to move on, going to back the bus over you, move on, and go from there. So some more contract talk here. And this is, Kai Kamaka, that's who it was. He was released by the UFC, and I think this is from his management team. Kai Kamaka goes 1-2-1 in the UFC. Three of the four fights were short-notice fights. Just because you're doing, quote, the company a favor doesn't necessarily mean it comes full circle when it's renegotiation time. It's only business. And then they go on to also say Justin James. He fought Frank Camacho on 2 days' notice, Gavin Tucker on three weeks' notice, and cut to 145 pounds. Benitez, 2 weeks' notice. Smith, 3 days' notice. Rosa, 8-week camp. And he got cut as well. So this goes back to the Kevin Holland thing, where you sign on a losing skid and you say, well, I do the UFC favors. Does the UFC appreciate your favors by taking fights on short notice? No, they don't. The UFC has always been, what have you done for me lately? And even if you did them a favor, you lost those fights. And so the fresh thing in my mind is you losing. And so you lose when it comes to negotiation time as well. The UFC never loses. And so this is all this boils down to is get a good manager, get a manager who is not one of the UFC's quote unquote favorites, and get a manager, if you can, who is not in the UFC MMA world. Like Francis Ngannou, who is, I think, from CAA, get a manager like that who will fight the UFC, who will stand up for you, who will get you what you're worth. Might not get you everything you're worth, but it'll get you more than someone who just rolls with the punches and says, well, this is the standard contract, and that's what you're getting. Never agree to the standard contract if you can do anything about it. And if you have a good, strong manager, you'll always be able to do something about it. The talent should get paid. Management should represent that talent. Management should never agree with the UFC on the first offer or the second offer. Fight and fight for you. That's not what we see. We see a lot of rolling over. We see a lot of managers who don't really care too much about their fighters, who don't fight for their fighters. And just remember, the UFC doesn't lose. And if you do them a favor, you're not going to get paid back on that favor. That's just the way the business runs in the UFC. Always been that way, always will be that way. Unless a change is forced, well, then maybe things will change, you know, and something easy could be done. You know, I'm taking this fight on short notice. I want a guaranteed, another fight guaranteed, even if I lose, and I want it at a guaranteed rate, even if I lose the fight I'm taking on short notice. Get that in the contract. Otherwise, you're just going to get run over. Fighters need strong management. Management that will stand up to the UFC. Conor McGregor, when he would go on and when he would go on social media and request fights or, you know, ask to fight people in the past, it was always kind of a a big deal. He would move mountains. The media would fall in love with this talk. The fighter that he called out would probably accept the fight and be happy about doing it. But that's changed. Now with McGregor kind of running his mouth and getting into these Twitter wars, getting into this tweet and delete situation, losing to two fights in a row to Dustin Poirier, the shine is off Conor McGregor. And now he gets roasted. And now on social media, and he just takes on whoever he thinks is a target. Right now it's Daniel Cormier and Michael Bisping. I don't know why. He tried to take on Kamaru Usman and got dismissed out of pocket. And it shows you how far McGregor has fallen in the eyes of the other UFC fighters. And here's what he said on Twitter before he got dismissed by Usman. Tremendous. I love this record. Fight for the 170-pound title. I will spark him, too. That will be the fastest KO in UFC title fight, 13 seconds. Most knockdowns in a UFC title fight, 5. And then another KO in a UFC title fight. 3 title fights, 3 KOs, 3 new records. It's right there. And then Usman replied, spark who? You must be talking about that pipe you've been smoking. Unlike you, if I'm going to talk shit, I'll at you. Now be quiet before I call Poirier or Habib or Diaz to finish you again. The days of Conor McGregor getting what he wants from UFC fighters, those are over. Usman could probably make a ton of money fighting McGregor, but why? Why? Everyone would expect him to win. When the odds were released, he was a minus 700 favorite. And I would say that's good money. If you can get 7-1 on Usman to beat McGregor, I would probably take that, because it's, at this point in McGregor's career, it's almost a lock that Usman would house him. But here we are. Conor McGregor is just kind of looking desperate, kind of looking like a shadow of the man he was in many ways. And he's just getting dismissed by fighters who maybe a couple years ago would have been a lot more accepting of his challenges. Those days are gone. Those days are gone. Conor McGregor is a shadow of himself in the cage, on social media, in the trash talk department, in the quote-unquote red panty night department. And if he comes back and gets beat again, I don't know how long Conor McGregor is going to be for the MMA world. He might end up being, you know, a guy who fights YouTubers in boxing matches. And if that makes him money, that makes him money. But his championship days in the UFC, I think, are behind him. His days of moving the needle as far as social media are behind him. His days of attracting whatever fight he wants are behind him. I think the only person in the UFC that really believes Conor McGregor is a big-time mover and shaker these days is Dana White. Poirier obviously doesn't believe that. Usman doesn't believe that. And you could put him up against the top 10 of the lightweight, welterweight division. And I don't know how many fights he wins in those, but it's definitely not half. Conor McGregor is in a bad spot. Will he ever come back? I mean, come back to be the man he was in the cage? I doubt it. And the only person he can blame for that is himself. And with that, I'm going to call it a day. I'll be back probably Thursday for another edition of the Come On Out MMA podcast. Everyone, stay safe.